Last time on Culture File, we were in Cork for the Ireland and Eco-Criticism Conference, a gathering of eco-critics from around the world, more of which in a moment, where we met Robert Brazeau and Derek Gladwin, the Canadian academics behind the first collection of eco-criticism on James Joyce. The tag team are back today, and this time we discover what would tempt committed environmentalists to part to international conferences from their own happy bowers. But first, Professor Brazeau essays what turns out to be one of the other hard questions in eco-criticism. What is nature?
I absolutely agree that is remains a singular area of scholarly significance in terms of how eco-criticism is going to unfold over the next number of years as a critical practice. The concept of nature, which seems to us very unproblematic. We go outside, we go into a park, and we're in nature. Nothing could be more straightforward than that. But when you start to look deeper into especially romantic art, where a new conception of the natural world is coming online, you see that it's entirely constructed, and it's constructed in a way that meets perceived needs of individual culture to express certain ideas about itself, of human culture to express those ideas about itself. And so nature then becomes a highly, highly structured and highly commodified idea, starting from the Romantic era. I mean, landscape painting and literary representations, you can see this, that nature was being enclosed, commodified, turned into a sign of material wealth, and therefore started to circulate as a signifier of all kinds of social values and even of economic values. And that is one of the legacies of the concept of nature that we think Joyce is helping us get behind. Joyce is working a kind of pivot against this very settled concept of nature as this life-giving force.
Would wind me a barrel of woodbine and roses, far, far from the scenes of your commonplace joys, where the gem of contentment in silence reposes, unsullied by tears and unshaken by noise. Yes,
one of the writers in the book, Greg Winston, has an essay on essentially water in early 20th century Dublin and water issues. And here we are in, you know, second decade of the 21st century, and water is becoming one of the most premier issues of the planet, drinking water as well as you know, sea levels and everything. And in some ways, this essay goes back 100 years, but is also talking about the moment. And I suppose that's what makes this book interesting, is it speaks not only to scholars of Joyce and eco-critics, but it speaks to everyone who has any concern about the environment, water security, water rights, but also, you know, cleanliness of water, water pollution, and certainly that plays into the larger issue of environmentalism and mass production, and certainly waste and the ways in which we are ridding wasteful byproduct of industrialization is affecting water. And certainly this is not only a new issue, it's an old issue. This is something that's been recurring. So it's interesting to kind of see that it come back full circle now.
Would I dwell in my own flowery cell, nor the dream of ambition, of honor or power? Should tempt me to part from my own happy bower, should tempt me to part from...
You said something very interesting to me earlier. I was saying to you, maybe a little bit glibly, that I was surprised that eco-criticism worked through the apparatus of the global international conference with people flying in from around the world.
And you said that actually you'd given that some hard thought.
I have given that some hard thought. I do find that it's very difficult to come to a conference as gracious as our hosts are, as wonderful as this event has been. There is a contradiction here in getting on an airplane and coming to a far distant city to explore these ideas and then to talk about living sustainably and sort of living small and living local when we're clearly not doing that. And one of the things that I'm struggling with or thinking through at a deeper level is the way in which I'm positioned as an ecological subject, but then how I'm also positioned as a subject within capitalism. And I have to do these things for my work, and they benefit me, and I move up the chain at work, and I, you know, these kinds of things are real to me as well. And so I don't live in a single space where all of my decisions can be made strictly via the sort of ecological ramifications of them. But what I can try hard to do is to be mindful of the ecological impacts of decisions I make. And this will be probably the last time I get on an airplane for a year or two. I've been traveling a lot over the last number of years to attend a lot of conferences to educate myself and to get my work out and to try to get some feedback on it in the wider community of scholars. But I do think airplane travel is one of those things that it's important to me in the work I do, but it's something also that I have to now engage the ecological problem posed by that as part of the work I do. So that's part of my work now, to think through those issues.
It's interesting. I wonder, is there kind of like carbon offset? Is there intellectual offset? Is the good you do by bringing these ideas around the world offset your carbon air miles?
I hope there's some offset. I don't know, though, if you can offset the carbon air miles, because they are significant when we're getting on an airplane in Edmonton and flying to Amsterdam and going to Utrecht and coming to Dublin and then taking the bus to Cork and then flying back to Canada. That's a heavy carbon footprint for that trip. And as much as I really enjoy the community of scholars, and as much as I feel like as an Irish studies scholar working in Canada, I have to come to Ireland and meet my colleagues here. It's just too important a resource for me.
Robert Brazzo and Derek Gladwin there, and next time on Culture File, we'll meet the woman whose book posed that very difficult question, what is nature? Environmental philosopher and advocate of alternative hedonism, Kate Soper.